Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, October the 24th, and we got a great show for you today. And today's show is going to be a little bit different because of the short week and the Miami Dolphins playing on Thursday. We're going to open up the show, talk about some news. I will do a brief preview of the Miami Dolphins versus the Houston Texans. Then we'll take a break, and after the break, we'll end the show with our weekly segment with Antoine Staley, Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today. So that's how we'll do today's show. With the short week, you know, it's a little bit different. But let's start off with the news. I guess the big news from Wednesday is Miami Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson will not need surgery on his hip. That is great. Now look, his 2018 season's still over. He will not play again this year. But the fact he will not need surgery to repair his hip is promising for 2019, because when you injure a hip, it is the type of injury that it can last and linger for many months or possibly even end someone's career. That doesn't appear to be the case here. He should be able to rehab this without surgery. That is the plan, and hopefully he is all set and ready to go for the 2019 season. So it's good news there for Albert Wilson, and we here wish him a speedy recovery. Other than that, three players will not travel to Houston with the Miami Dolphins. They are Charles Harris, they are Kenny Stills, and they are Albert Wilson. All three are out for this week's game on Thursday. The other news is the Miami Dolphins are going to travel Leonte Carew and Isaiah Ford, two wide receivers from their practice squad, to Houston this week. And they will decide probably maybe not even till late Wednesday or Thursday morning which one they will activate and have be on the active roster for the game this week. So either Leonte Carew or Isaiah Ford, or I guess possibly even both, honestly, will be with the team in Houston, and one or both of them will be active for the game. I wouldn't be shocked if they activated them both, because right now Miami is so thin at wide receiver, and Devontae Parker is just a wild card in general. You just don't know what you're going to get from him week to week. So it might be wise to activate both, but at least one of them will be active for the game this week. We'll have to stay tuned and find out. Let's talk about this Houston Texans team and do a brief preview of this game. As I said on the show on Tuesday, this game, I believe, is a nice little matchup here for the Dolphins. Now, I say that because on offense, they are not a dynamic offense, the Houston Texans. They have one big-time player. Now, he is as big-time as they get, and he's the type of guy who can take over a game and put a team on his back and lead him to a win. That is, of course, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. So he is someone Miami will have to watch out for. Xavien Howard, I would think, would shadow him for most of the game. And Hopkins, on Tuesday, did have some words for Xavien Howard. Not really words. He just sort of was dismissive, asking, who is Xavien Howard? Now, that's just him trying to big-time someone like Xavien Howard, act like, I don't know who you are because you're just irrelevant to me. We all know Xavien Howard's one of the best, you know, two or three cornerbacks in the league. Hopkins here playing some mind games with him. I think Xavien Howard will do okay, but Hopkins is going to get his. He always does. It seems like he always does. Hopkins will get his. The key for Miami is shutting down everybody else. Running back-wise, you know, they're going to face Lamar Miller, who's a shell of his former self, and Alfred Blue, who is, you know, just okay. Nothing special there. Deshaun Watson is a little banged up. I've never been a huge Deshaun Watson fan, so I don't get the hype around him. I really don't. He can make plays with his legs. Yeah, I get it. But other than that, I don't see him as a good pocket passer. The Houston offensive line is a mess. Now, that sort of plays against Miami, because right now Miami's defensive line is a bit in shambles itself. But, you know, as I said on the podcast Tuesday, the Miami Dolphins only have 11 sacks this year. This should be a game where they get a couple sacks here. Houston's offensive line is, you know, as bad as it comes. They are just not very good. So hopefully Robert Quinn, he might get one this week or so. And the Miami Dolphins find a way to get to the quarterback. We'll see. But Houston's offense, aside from Hopkins, there's really not a lot there. Will Fuller, you know, he's an okay wide receiver, but nobody's going to get that excited over Will Fuller. Watson, the running backs. This is not a team that, you know, will put up a lot of points. Now watch them put up like 35 after I just said that. But they're just not the type of team that put up a lot of points. The other side of the ball, in my opinion, is where this game will be won and lost. Because Houston's defense is pretty good. Especially their front seven. Obviously, J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, Zach Cunningham, Tre'Davion Clowney. I mean, this team can get after the quarterback and cause a little havoc. And we all know Miami's offensive line is a little bit hot and cold. Now, Tunsil and James at the offensive tackle spot, you know, the past few weeks have played well. They played well. Tunsil's been playing well for more than a few weeks. James, you know, the past couple weeks has sort of picked it up a notch. So the Miami offensive tackles have been playing well. That will need to continue this week. The story of this game will be the inside of the line. Jesse Davis, Travis Swanson, and Ted Larson. You know, can they block anybody? Because if they can't, then I think Brock Osweiler's in for a long day. Now, Osweiler, he will be going up against his old team, so he might be motivated there. The Houston secondary, again, pretty good. Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Joseph, you know, they got some pretty good cornerbacks. The safeties are all right. So it will come down, and, you know, Miami is thin at wide receiver, and the guys they will be playing, Grant and Amendola, not the tallest guys in the world, Devontae Parker, again, total wild card. You have no clue what you're going to get with Parker. None at all. And if anybody says, you know, they can count on him to have a good game here, they're just lying to your face. Nobody has any idea what's going on with Devontae Parker. And after him, you have either Isaiah Ford or Leonte Carew or both. You know, two guys who are just, you know, totally unproven. So can Miami, you know, get wide receivers open? I would expect this to be a heavy game for the running backs, Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. I would think Miami on a short week on the road against a pretty good team that plays defense to, you know, run the ball here and not ask too much of the quarterback. Tight end-wise, I would think this might be a week where you see Drake involved a lot in the passing game and maybe a little bit more on a Mike Gesicki, who sort of, you know, came out of his shell a little bit last week and was more of an active participant in the offense in the passing game. I think that will continue to grow slowly but surely over the rest of the season. But I think the Miami Dolphins, that's where the story of this game in my eyes is won or lost. Can the Miami Dolphins offensive line block Houston's front seven? And can the Miami Dolphins make enough plays in the passing game with no Albert Wilson and no Kenny Stills, you know, to be a viable offense to put up some points? My prediction is this game is going to be very low scoring, very low scoring. I don't see either one of these offenses doing much. And it might be an ugly game. It might be a slow-moving game. It might be one of those Thursday games where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is a game that's on national TV. But I think Houston, the road team on Thursdays is always a challenge. It's a tough spot for them to have to travel and play a game on a Thursday when you're coming off a game on a Sunday. It's just a tough spot. I think Houston's a little bit healthier right now, or maybe like a lot healthier, I guess you could say. They're at home, and I just think they're going to edge out a win here. I don't think Miami will lose by a lot, but I don't think Miami's going to win on the road because they never win in Houston. They just never win in Houston. It's always a team that just hands them fits. It's a place that gives them fits. So my prediction is Houston 17, Miami 10. Houston 17, Miami 10. I see this as just a low-scoring, boring kind of game, honestly, at the end of the day. I don't know how they will generate offense and points without guys like Wilson and Stills. Those are their big play home run hitters. Drake has an ability. I don't know. I think Houston will be ready for him, honestly. And if they sort of take him out of the game, what is Miami left with? They're left with Amendola, who's an older wide receiver. Parker, who does nothing. Grant's okay. I mean, it's like, I just don't know how they're going to generate any big plays or generate any offense. And I don't expect Houston to do much on offense either, but I expect them to do, you know, a little bit more. Maybe make one or two more plays. So that's my prediction. Houston 17 and the Miami Dolphins 10. What I'll do now is take a quick break And after the break, we will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter Antoine Staley from USA Today for his weekly spot to get his thoughts on the Lions game, get any news and tidbits he has learned from the franchise regarding the injuries and what Miami might be doing, and then get his thoughts on this Thursday's game against Houston. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am doing great. Let's talk about the Lions game real quick here. What do you think happened in that Lions game? Because it just seemed like Miami came out flat, especially on defense, which we really haven't seen this year out of them. They have played, you know, that side of the ball has really played well for the most part. Take away the game against New England. For the most part, they played solid this year. It just seemed like they couldn't make a stop last week to save their lives, especially against the run, which so far this year they've been okay against. So what were your thoughts on the Lions game and specifically on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, if you take – I'll say like this, the last few weeks they hadn't necessarily been good on the run. They weren't great in the run the Chicago game.
True.
They just happened to be able to take the ball away. And that's what the Dolphins have been doing. They're a bend but don't break defense. But if they don't get turnovers, they're not necessarily very good because they give up a lot of yards and they sometimes give up big plays. And we saw it last week against the Lions. Johnson, the running back, ended up going for a 70-plus yard game and just ran all over them. They ended up getting 247 yards rushing. You're not going to win a game that way. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Dolphins or Cleveland Browns, New England Patriots. If you give up that many yards rushing, you're not going to win the game at all. So I just felt like they weren't able to get a turnover, and that's just kind of what they are. They've been built on. Their red zone defense is great. Their turnover, getting turnovers, has been really excellent. It's aside from last week, but they just wasn't able to get one. And I felt like had they got one, it might have swung the other way. But, yeah, that's just kind of what they build their defense on. But they always give up a ton of yards. And I think that could be a problem later on in the season.
Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about some of the injuries here because it just seems like every time they get a few guys back, it just seems like almost twice as many guys now get hurt and will miss time. They can't catch a break when it comes to injuries. Let's start with Stills. Is this sort of a week-to-week thing, you think, or could this be more something long-term?
Groin injuries are tricky. He could be back by the Jets game. He could be back. It could take a month to heal. It's just you never know. Any kind of soft tissue injury, it depends on just how it heals and can he get 100%. And of course, him being a wide receiver, you definitely need him as close to 100% as possible. So I don't know. It's a very tricky thing. Adam Gase didn't necessarily seem to know the severity of it. All he just said was he still was going to be out this week. It wouldn't surprise me if he were to be out for the Jets game either, just because, like I say, groin injuries can tend to take anywhere from maybe a week to or maybe a month or longer. So you just have to hope, especially with Albert Wilson likely out for the season, that you can get Stills back sooner rather than later.
Yep, and that sort of leads into the next question of Devontae Parker. It sounds like he's going to play this week, and he will suit up, one, because they pretty much have nobody else.
Well, that's what Adam Gates said. He don't have much of a choice.
He doesn't have much of a choice here. Are you surprised or not? They haven't called anyone up yet from the practice squad this week, have they? And are you surprised by that?
They will tomorrow. They will. I think they're officially waiting to hear what Albert Wilson's prognosis is going to be, even though they kind of know. They took both Isaiah Ford and also Leontay Carew to Houston.
Carew. Okay.
So one or the other will be chosen for the practice squad. I mean, for the roster for the game. And then I assume they'll place Albert Wilson on IR just to free the spot up. If not, for some reason, if they wanted to, you know, release a running back or do something to kind of manipulate the roster, they could add both Lavonte Crew or and Isaiah Ford. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me either, just simply because you don't want to necessarily get in the situation where you were last week when you only had two healthy receivers out there. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if both of them were really get activated somehow.
Yep. And were you surprised by the comments by Parker's agent there after the game on Sunday? Look, I know he is probably frustrated as a player. He's probably frustrated as an agent. But, you know, also the franchise overall is probably frustrated as well with the player because, you know, it's always something with him. Some of the injuries is luck, some who knows. But were you surprised his agent came out as strong as he did? Because he's really not helping his client, honey. I don't think. When you come out that strong against the head coach and make and say some of the things he said.
I think the timing of it was pretty kind of wrong, obviously. They just lost the game, and it seems like he was just very angry. One, they lost, and two, Devontae Parker hadn't been playing. In his words, like he thought Parker could have played three games, and I heard from verbatim from Parker himself after the Jets game, he felt like he could have played. I'm sure he got criticized by Adam Gase for that, but that's just kind of how he felt. Look, they don't want to be in the marriage. I know Parker is saying the right things and saying he wants to be there. I think part of him would like to move on, but he knows that's probably going to happen after the season now, especially because of the injuries. I think the had Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills been healthy this week, I think the Dolphins probably would have moved. They probably would have moved on from him too, considering he's been in trade talks. But as it is, they don't have much of a choice but to just keep Parker now, especially after the trading deadline, unless something. They give up a first or second round pick, and obviously I can't
nobody's
see that happening.
Nobody's not for Parker.
But, yeah, they just kind of stuck with each other, and Parker's just going to have to show what he can do the rest of the year and for another team because, obviously, I don't think he's going to be with the Dolphins unless he just all of a sudden lights it up and just becomes a completely different player.
Yeah, even then, I don't think he has a future in Miami here beyond this year. And I actually do think if – they were presented with the right offer. I don't care how many guys are hurt. They still might look for a way to move him, especially if they were to lose this week, go to 500, 4-4. You know, you got to be realistic about things and say the playoffs might not be in our future this year. So even if they were presented with the right offer, say some team really wanted him and they offered him a third-round pick, I would think you got to jump on it. I don't care how many guys are hurt, and you can just play out the rest of the year with guys like Ford and Carew and stuff. We'll see, though. But, I mean, I thought the timing was awful. Some of the stuff he said was really over the top. And it's like he's not helping his client any, not only in Miami, but no matter where he lands, either next year or 2020, wherever. It's just I thought it was just a bad move by the agent.
Yeah, I'll say this, too. And Park, that information had to come from somewhere.
Yes.
I know, yeah, Park, even though Parker denied him feeling that way, he might not exactly felt that way, but I'm sure he told his agent about how frustrated he was about not playing. He told us his frustration after the Jets game. So I'm sure he probably told his agent the same thing. His agent went on and said Adam Gase is lying. Well, this is not the first time Adam Gase is being criticized for about injury. So I think there was some truth in that. I just think it was kind of out of line by his agent. And again, as you said, you're not doing him any favors, especially considering the circumstances. And no, you're not going to win the public opinion because Dolphin fans are saying, well, Parker, your client only has two catches, 40 yards on the year. So,
yeah. And he was a first round pick. And I think everyone is just frustrated by him and, you know, how it's sort of not worked out since he's been picked. And I think everyone is just, look, he needs to be somewhere else next year. That is, he just has to be because it's just not going to work in Miami. Let's talk about the game this Thursday night against Houston. Matchup-wise, this is a team that's really not as explosive on offense. Yes, they have the great wide receiver in Hopkins, but aside from him, you know, it's an offense that I think, not like the Lions, let's just say, where they have multiple wide receivers can spread you out and stuff. What do you think about Miami and how they match up with Houston, with Houston's offense? Let's start there.
Well, obviously, of course, trying to slow down Deshaun Watson and get pressure on him. And I know the Houston offensive line hasn't been great, but the Dolphins' defensive line pass rush has been non-existent the last few games. You hadn't noticed it. I mean, they've been getting barely any kind of pressure whatsoever.
I mean,
Cam Wake, I know he came back last week. I really didn't notice him much out there, to be honest
with
you.
I think he's starting to show his age a little bit.
Yeah, I hate to be the guy that says
that. Me too.
But yeah, I mean, he is 36 years old, and he's coming off an injury, so he's definitely not looking like the same player. Robert Quinn, I mean, he did some nice things early on this year. He hasn't really heard much from him. I just, you know, the only player I really see really disrupting in that defensive line has been Vincent Taylor, and they didn't play him enough last week at all, which blows my mind because he's been the best run stopper that you have. So you need to get you need to be able to get pressure on Deshaun Watson any way you can. I think that's really the recipe from winning a game like this. Obviously, the Texans are going to try to run the football. You have Lamar Miller. I'm sure he's motivated to have a really big game.
Absolutely.
Against the Dolphins, considering it's his home against his hometown team, and number two, he was a Miami Dolphin for a bit. And so I'm sure he's really going to be very motivated.
Okay, so let's talk about the other side of the ball. How do you think Miami's offense is going to fare against Houston's defense?
That's going to be tough. Houston, their defense is playing really well, and obviously it's been a catalyst for their four-game winning streak. Obviously, you have to worry about J.J. Watt, Davion Clowney. I will say this, Laremy Tunsil and Juwan James have been playing particularly well. I know they didn't play their best game against the Lions last week, but yeah, I am worried about that side of the ball, but I'm not super worried. I'm more worried about can they establish a run game, because that's exactly what they're gonna have to do in a game like this. You definitely don't want Osweiler back there throwing the ball possibly 40 times and having pass rushers like that be able to get a hand on you and force turnovers. So if they're able to run the football with Gore and also Kenyon Drake, I definitely think that's going to benefit them the most.
Yep, absolutely. You never want to see Miami throw the ball that many times, especially with Brock Osweiler, who's actually played well against Chicago and Lions. You can't really knock him. I thought, you know, when we first heard there against Chicago that he was going to start, I was like, oh boy, this could be really ugly. But he played okay in that game, and I thought he played really well against the Lions. So he really hasn't been the issue. As long as he continues to play like this, protect the football, doesn't really turn it over too much every now and then. Yes, it's going to happen. But, you know, I thought he's played well in his two starts so far. And he's going to be motivated, too, this week as he heads up against his former team as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he tried to downplay it this week, saying that it's just another game. But, obviously, I'm sure he doesn't think so because, I mean, the Texans did give up on him after a year where – they actually did make the playoffs and get to the divisional round before losing to the Patriots. So I'm sure he definitely is motivated to, and now, especially after Javion Clowney's comments saying that pretty much Osweiler wasn't a very good quarterback and some other stuff there. But yeah, I'm sure he's going to be highly motivated there.
So what's your thoughts on this game? What's your prediction for this week?
A lot of things. First of all, the Dolphins, as you know, they're not the same team at home on the road.
No, they're not. Home. Nope.
And you factor that in, you have injuries, and it's a prime time game, and the defense isn't necessarily playing well.
A lot of injuries. So you add all that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to get embarrassed. But then again, it wouldn't completely surprise me because.
And plus, they've never won in Houston either. They never win in Houston. They always lose.
And they've only beaten the Texans one time, which is 3 years ago too. So you factored all that in. I'm going to go with the Texans here.
I'm sort of there with you. I think Houston will win as well. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, very ugly. I think it's one of those Thursday games that sort of puts everyone to sleep and everybody's like, Thursday football's terrible. I think this might be that type of game. It's going to be low scoring. I think it'll be close. I don't see one team sort of running away with it, but I think it might be a low scoring game that is just kind of, you know, it's there. But I do think Houston has an edge here because on the Thursday game, you want to be at home. Short week, you want to be at home. That helps. And they're just healthier than Miami right now, who just has so many injuries. You know, they came into this year so deep at wide receiver and at pass rusher there. And those were all the injuries that sort of happened. And now they're sort of down just to the bare bones. And it's sort of unfortunate how that played out, because they came in here with so many pass rushers and so many wide receivers. And that's where all the injuries happen. And it's just, it's odd how that works out. But thanks so much, Antoine, for joining us on the show. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine's Daily at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com and follow him on Twitter at Antoine's Daily. Antoine, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, dude. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.